Welcome to Coffee with Ken, with your host, Ken Balsley.
Well, this is Coffee with Ken. I'm your host, Ken Balsley. My guest today is a man who is no stranger to me, no stranger to you, and no stranger to anybody else. I like that. I thought that was good.
That's good. What a lead.
Bill McGregor, who is our port commissioner. Bill, welcome.
Thank you, Ken. Now, I always look forward to our annual get-together.
I was going to say, why do I have you on? Because you were my first guest when I started on the radio.
Correct.
And every year after that, you were my guest at each beginning new year. So you're my guest this time. I don't know if this is the second or the third year we've been doing this.
Oh, this is like the sixth year.
Sixth or seventh year, but I'm talking about the podcast.
Oh, here, yeah. This is the third, I think.
I think it's the third year, too. So you're starting our third year with you. Well, you got some exciting things going on. You're running for office again.
It's that time of year.
Why?
It's election. Oh, I love it.
I mean, come on.
I love it. Why are you running?
Well, because it's about time.
I was going to say that, but you ran in 1987.
I did.
It was the last time, and now you've thrown your hat in the ring. And
30 years later, yes, but let's talk about you first.
Okay.
We can talk about me later, but let's talk about you. So you've been on the Port Commission now, what, 12 years?
It'll be 11 years. 11 years. I got appointed.
That's right.
In late 06.
And so you ran for another four-year term. That'll be 15 years when you get done.
Correct.
And you'll be what? 70? No, you'll be
72, 73.
That's not bad.
No.
Younger than me.
Yeah, well, see? Yeah, no, it's been 15 years. I've enjoyed every minute of it.
Well, I don't think that's true.
You don't think that?
I don't think that you've enjoyed every single minute. I think this last year or two has been really tough on you.
Well, it's been tough, but, you know, you have to rise to the challenges and you have to... It is what you make it.
Well, I mentioned on my blog that you're gonna, on my Facebook, that you're going to be my guest today, and I had somebody send me a question to ask you, and I forgot it.
Uh-oh. Well, I have to get your Facebook page.
It sounded like it was really important, but I forgot what it was.
Well, I can't answer what you don't
obviously,
ask.
Obviously, I didn't really care about the question.
Oh. You
know? It was somebody who was trying to trip you up on something. So I went to your kickoff. When was it? A couple weeks ago.
March 13th, something like that.
Yeah. And you made a two-hour-long presentation on the history of the port. You made a presentation on the history of the port and all the good things it's done. Would you care to take about 2 minutes and just kind of review briefly some of the things that you think you've been able to get accomplished during your last 4 years on the port?
Just the last four?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I think one of the big things is, you know, we've been working on that fuel dock getting that put in down there at the marina. That was a concept back in 1985 that was considered in the future, and well, now we're into the future, and we are here, and that's one thing that'll be opening up here in June, and we'll be serving fuel to the boating community.
Okay, so you got the fuel dock.
Fuel dock.
4 years is a long time. What else did you get done?
Well, it took 8 years to get it done.
That's true. It took a long time. It
took a long time. I think that we've done a lot of, we've improved our SEPA process. We finally got that passed. That took about 2 years to get that done, just with the different viewpoints that were brought forward during that process. So we have that done. We have almost completed our Tumwater master plan out there at the airport. We have a couple of, what they call them, the HCP habitat conservation plan has to be formulated, but it's to a point that in the next year or two, hopefully we can get that adopted and ready to go, and that's to help developers who come in and want to put a building somewhere. We'll have an area already ready to go, and we'll have a better idea of what the permitting is going to be required for that developer to move forward with this project. So we've done a lot of good things. We've gotten out behind the marine terminal. Before, we were inside the fenced area, which meant people had to show ID to get in there. The building was ancient. It wasn't really built for the technology demands of today with the wiring necessary. We got out of there. We're now across the street.
So you modernized and made it more available to the public.
More accessible, yep.
So what do you want to see ahead in the next 4 years? What is it that you want to get done in the next 4 years?
I want to see the master plan completed out the airport to get that really going and get that developed. I want to see more cargo ships coming in. I think the big part of it, and I know that's a hot button for you, but the big part of it is getting volume across the docks, and I think that you know, you're going to start seeing some of that happening just this year alone.
Are we going to see any passenger ships come in?
Well, that's a good that is a good one. We've been working on that very hard, Ed.
I know you have.
Ed has been working on that, and I keep asking about that because that is one of the things that I think is going to draw some tourism into the area and will be a benefit to us. And the answer is we're supposed to be on the 2018 schedule. So that's recent news.
For a liner to come in 2018?
Mm-hmm. They usually typically run the summer months. And,
yeah, right.
And I think it's American Cruise Line, I think it's called, or some cruise line.
And there's about 170 passengers.
About 100, like 120. Yeah. And they come in and they just do a week-long service in Puget Sound. And we've been working hard with them to bring one of those ships down here and start getting us onto the schedule.
Well, one of the things that drew some attention when you did your campaign kickoff was the port name change.
Mm-hmm. That's something I think we're ready to start exploring it more seriously.
I ask a question on my Facebook, and I've got a few followers from both spectrums, and they had all kinds of names. But the one that struck me the most was South Sound Regional Port Authority, that operates the Port of Olympia and the Tumwater Airport and everywhere else. So you're not the Port of Olympia. You operate the Port of Olympia along with the Tumwater Airport. You're the South Sound Regional Port Authority. What would it take for you to change that name?
Well, that's what our Citizens Advisory Group has been assigned that task. But what is going to be done? I know.
They're going to take 6, 8, 10 months to even
meet. Well, there are things you can do. Well,
what do you mean? You don't need them to do that.
I don't need them to do that, but I wanted some input from them, from a citizens group with some names and what are
just
some of the...
Just do it.
Just do it.
I mean,
we're going to get to that point pretty soon.
Once you get reelected, you got 4 more years. Just do it.
Well, I got 4 years to get it done. And I know that's been a hot button for you too.
It has been for a long time.
When you look at the Port of Olympia, people tend to think it's just downtown, but we're much bigger.
Well, you can still call it the Port of Olympia.
It's still going to be.
But now you're the South Sound Regional Port Authority, which operates the Port of Olympia,
right,
as well as the Tumwater Airport and anything else you want to add to that.
Our footprint over the last 4 years has been spreading out. We now have property in Lacey. We also have some involvement in South County through the Small Cities Program that we try to encourage some economic development activities in Yelm, Rainier, Tenino, and Pacoda. And so we're kind of spreading out and hopefully get our identity to more match the geographical area of our community.
And so, well, you have with you a guest today.
I do, yes.
Would you like to introduce who she is?
I'd love to do that. Her name is Gigi
McClure,
excuse me.
I had to look that up myself, yes. So.
Well, I should know. Anyway.
I only met her, a few hours ago for the first time.
Well, and Gigi is a candidate for District 3 Port Commissioner.
So why don't we have Gigi move over in your seat there for a second, or you just move your chair over. We're going to shift some chairs around here, folks, and I want to talk to you for a few minutes. Gigi, welcome.
Thank you, Ken.
We don't have your picture taken here, but I'll have you back later on at a later date, and we'll do more detail on you. But tell us a little bit about yourself, first of all.
Let's see, where do I start?
Well, you can start with where you're from. I know you're retired military, so let's
okay, start. I actually grew up in Portland, Oregon, of course, and I went to school at University of Nevada, Las Vegas, on a track scholarship.
Oh, all right.
At which time I went through ROTC. I was a distinguished military graduate for ROTC.
At UNLV.
At UNLV. And then I joined the military, of course, for 21 years. I'm a retired lieutenant colonel in logistics. And during my military career, I've traveled different countries, to include Afghanistan. I've been to Germany, Korea several times, to count four. I was actually stationed only one time here at Fort Lewis locally.
But you're from Portland, you just kind of liked it up here.
I love it up here. This is where I plan to die.
Well, if it rains you up, we're all going to just rot away. That's what was going to happen.
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful up here. I love it. So then I'm married, 2 children. My daughter goes to Washington State University. My son is actually going to Central Washington starting in the fall. So he transferred from Evergreen. He'll be an Evergreen transfer to Central Washington.
Okay. So he was in Evergreen, now he's going to Central.
Correct.
So you settled here in Lacey.
Correct. Actually,
in Tenino.
Yes, Southwestern.
Yeah, okay. But you settled here because you just like the place.
Yes.
And, of course, being retired military, you have access to all the military activities and stuff and so on.
Correct. Like the small town vibe.
So what had you planned to do with your retirement? I mean, did you plan that you're going to get involved in the community? Did you plan you're going to get involved in local politics? I mean, is this something that has been in the back of your mind?
Or did
this come up?
Like a lot of other military people, when you leave the military, you kind of just want to deflate for a while and just sit back and try to take everything in. And for me, I didn't really spend a lot of time with my family, so that was a time for me to catch up during that time that I was inactive. So during that inactive period where my children were going to school, I actually wanted to participate in some of their activities until they graduated high school. So I took a part-time position as a assisting with a property manager. So I did bookkeeping in terms of part-time, and then I also assisted with some of her rental properties. Went from there, and then I have a master's degree in human resources. So I went looking for a position in human resources. So I interned for a little bit, decided that the position really wasn't right for me. And I went back to school and I got my master's in business administration, which I'm thinking back, I wish I'd got it actually sooner while I was still in the military, because there's quite a few techniques I've learned that I could have used during that period of time. And from there, I took a position with the VA hospital as a medical support assistant. And I just wanted
to. So what you're saying is you didn't retire.
No, I didn't really.
You retired from the military, but you're still working.
No, you have to stay active in mind, active in heart.
But the question was more as, why did you decide you wanted to run for an elective position, a port commission position? I mean, had that something was in the back of your mind, or did the opportunity arise, or what was it?
Interest. Actually, I never had an interest in the political field and the political side.
Military usually don't.
Actually, I talked, the point where a switch went off for me was actually when I talked to Bill.
Why would you talk to Bill?
On the fence, because I was interested in the position, because I was interested in a part-time position, continuing working with the VA and working with veterans, and then finding a position that where I can continue to do that as well as continue to be active in the community. And a part-time position, to me, it worked out perfectly. The port commissioner spot worked perfectly for what I was looking for. And I was kind of on the fence of whether I should run, will I have the time.
But why the port commission? Why not city council in Tenino or something like that? Why the port, it's like the second most significant political organization in Thurston County.
Right. And having the background in terms of logistics and then
doing the
research, it was a better fit
that
for me.
That makes sense now, the logistics background.
Yeah, correct. So having that background, and it truly was a better fit for me.
Sometimes I'm too dense. It took me a minute to figure out logistics and port.
Correct.
Well, I appreciate you coming here and talking with us. We're going to have you back on in next few weeks sometime, and we'll get to know more about you. But,
great.
I appreciate you come in, and I don't want to steal all the thunder from the next time. So,
okay.
People know you now. They know who you are, and I'm sure you'll get good response.
Well, I appreciate the invite. Thank you,
G. Right. Now, you get back down the hot seat there, Bill.
Please.
I did just want to get Gigi on because, it's time.
It's time, yeah.
It's time. So what do you got in your hand there? Oh, I thought you had some notes.
No.
Because last time you came here, you had a whole notebook full.
I probably could have another
and
one.
I didn't ask you a single question.
I know it. So I left it out in the car. I should know it, right? I should know most of it.
Now, we know that there's been some conflict on the port between the different port commissioners. Last time we talked, you were very reluctant to say anything, but you're working on your interpersonal relationships. Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, we're trying.
You brought a consultant in to help you.
Right. One of the challenges is both commissioners are new. Basically,
you've talked about Joe Downey and Commissioner Zita.
And so it's everybody's kind of trying to find their way and how do we work together to continue to move the port forward do what we're supposed to do, and that's economic development. And how do we do that? And how do we bring in tourism and those types of things?
And so is there a difference in opinion on the port commission as to whether or not you really want to do those kind of things?
Well, I don't know if there's so much a difference. I mean, we're mandated by RCWs to do these things. Well, it means that that's what we're supposed to be doing. And we need to follow those and continue to have that impact into our community.
Okay, I'm going to stop there for a second.
Okay.
You're mandated by RCWs and Washington Code to do economic development, right? So why do we have an Economic Development Committee Council? Why do we have an EDC?
Well,
that's your job. How come they're doing it?
They have a far more outreach than we do.
Well, you could have that outreach.
Well, it would be more payroll, more overhead, more. I mean, we would have to have a kind of a staff that they've.
Well,
got.
They have private partner, public private partnerships. There.
Well, and we wouldn't have that. We would all be on our nickel.
You couldn't do that.
No, we contract with them to do a lot of work for us, and they provide. Information. We sit on the board. We have at least one commissioner on the board. And so we meet, once a month with them. And Michael Cade is doing a good job of getting things
Everybody
happening.
Keeps saying Michael's doing a good job. I mean, I've had dozens of people on here over the last couple of years to say Michael's doing a good job. I've even had Michael on here. He said he did a good job. So that must mean that we're doing very well on economic development then, huh?
Well, we can always do better. There's always room for improvement on economic development. We are one of the biggest landowners in Thurston County.
Yes, I know that.
So we've got a lot of land.
And you gave your land away.
And you're giving our land away.
Yeah.
Where did we give land away?
You gave your land away to the Hands-On Children's Museum.
Well, but that's part of economic development.
Wow.
They had 300,000 visitors last year come in.
Yes, and 90% of them are in Thurston County.
Well, out of those 300,000, they had at least one family from every zip code in the United States. I heard that at a Hands-On Children's Museum
luncheon.
Yes,
I've heard that too.
Okay.
They come here to visit the state capitol, and then didn't they say, we got this?
No, maybe they came to visit the Hands-On and went and visited the state capitol.
No, nobody comes to visit the Hands-On. There's 27 Hands-On Children's Museums in Washington State.
Yeah, people don't none travel. Are as good as this one. None
this is
are
good,
as good.
This one. Is a good one. I'm not going to argue that point. Yep. But it's not a tourist attraction.
Oh, you don't think
no,
so?
No, it's a subset.
Oh, well.
People come here for something else, like go visit the state capitol, and they say, hey, you got Hands-On Children's Museum, they take your kids down there.
Yeah, well, they can go to the Great Wolf Lodge, too.
And
there's
I shouldn't
another
say
one.
Anything, because my grandkids have been there many times. So.
I don't know about you, but they're always asking me, take me to the Hands-On. I want to go to the Hands-On. So I just buy an annual pass.
So I got off track there, because you talked about your job was economic development, and then I'm just wondering, what... You're buying property. You bought buildings in Lacey. You've
Correct.
Got property out of Grand Mound and Rochester.
Not in Grand Mound. We have property only at the airport. We don't have anything in Grand Mound.
You don't have any Grand Mound property?
Nothing. Nothing down there.
Did you ever have it?
Not to my knowledge.
Oh, I thought you had it.
No.
I tell everybody this is part property when I take them on my tour.
I'll see. What can I say? You can tell them anything you want to, Ken, but we don't have anything down there. No, we just go down as far as the airport. So, but anyway, so yeah, we have that. And so, we're always looking at opportunities. I mean, we're interested in seeing what we can do to help the ag portion of this community. I mean, agriculture is very important. We've got the farmer's market down there.
So you actually do more than just operate a marine port, a marine terminal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Huh? Absolutely.
But people don't know that.
Well, they should check us out on the webpage because there's a lot of information up there on what the port's doing in their community. In fact, we just had an ad put in the paper, of which I brought one for you so you'd have it, that tells all the things that we've been doing
in
the last
in the
year.
Car.
Pardon me?
But you left it in
no,
the car.
No, I have it with me. Yeah. I brought that in. So
you also been doing some television advertising. I've seen your spots on TV.
Yeah, I don't know that we've done much of that lately. It's been a while. We just did a piece in the newspaper, a fold-out, of everything that we've done over the last year and what we're looking at doing, So it's all projects that are either started or on the back burner getting ready to move forward.
So you're running for re-election. So far you have no announced opponent.
That's correct. Not at
this
point.
And you would prefer to keep it that way.
I'm open for either way. The citizens of this community have to make choices, and one of them is who's going to serve in your elected positions. And if I have an opponent, that's great. I'd welcome it.
Would you welcome it because it gives you an opportunity to get out more out in the public then and talk about Port? Or why would you welcome an opponent? I would think that you wouldn't want that.
I would welcome an opponent.
Or are you just talking?
No, I would welcome an opponent because that gives people choices, and I think they need to have choices. So... If I end up with an opponent, that's great.
And your area is Lacey Yelm primarily?
District 2, right? Correct. It's Lacey Yelm.
So what have you done so far in your campaign? You had your big fundraiser. How'd you do on that?
I did fairly well, according to the PDC reports that are filed. I did okay on that.
Yeah, those PDC reports.
Yeah, we got to keep up on that stuff. But we've been meeting since January and putting things together and getting ourselves organized and ready. And in case there is an opponent, we want to have everything ready to go. So we're meeting again tonight, and we have some more strategizing to do. And I've got a good campaign team that is out there and willing to help me out. So,
well, you might ask me some questions.
Yeah. Well, I really want to know why you're running. You're running for appointment, if I believe, right at this point.
I'm running for the Lacey City Council's position 3. I will run for that position whether I get appointed to it or not.
Correct.
If I get appointed, I have to run anyway.
Correct.
For the unexpired term. If I don't get appointed, I'm going to run. I'm going to beat whoever wins that one.
Okay. And so how many people have applied for that now?
Well, I talked to the mayor today, and so far it looks like about 6, but I suspect it'll probably be 9 or 10.
Just for that position?
For the appointment.
For the appointment.
Yeah, because it's easy. You get appointed, and then, you know, and you don't.
Do you think that they're going to appoint someone who's going to run, or is there people that are putting their names in that are not going to run?
On the application form, they say, are you going to run for the seat? They want somebody that's going to run.
Okay.
So if you say you're not going to run, they probably won't even consider you. Because they don't want to take time to select somebody, and then 6 months on the road, they leave, and somebody else comes in.
Okay.
So the council is going to want whoever runs that position to do it. And your question was, why do I want to do it after 30 years?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I've been a citizen advocate for Lacey for a long time. You know, I've criticized the city when I thought they were on the wrong track, you know, and I pat them on the back when I thought they were on the right track. But, you know, you can only throw rocks at the tent for so long. And you don't really get anything accomplished when you're on the outside. You influence, but sometimes it takes forever, and sometimes it never doesn't work at all. You got to be inside at the table, you know, talking to the people, making the policy decisions that take the city that I love, which is Lacey, you know, into the future. And that's why I want to do it.
Okay, so if you get appointed, then you have to run in November. Is it for a full term? For a 2-year. And those are normally a 4-year.
Right. This is a 2-year unexpired.
So it's a short term, and then you'd have to turn around and run in 2 years, or
yes, have to run in November. I'm going to run no matter what. So so we're up, we're organized, we're ready to go. We've been copying you. In fact, I saw your campaign sign the other day. Mine's going to be almost like yours.
Uh-oh.
They're going to get confused.
Is that good or bad?
Obviously, I think they're
good for us.
Obviously,
or what?
I think your campaign sign is a good campaign sign. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, it's starting to show up in places. We've been slowly putting them up, and we'll continue to do that. So Virgil is not running again.
Virgil is not running. His seat will be vacant
in open
November.
Seat. And so have there been any indications on – I'm not sure how the positions work in the city of Lacey. There's different positions.
I think Virgil's seat is – I think his is position 7, I think. And since he's not going to – there should be a whole bunch of people running for that seat because there will be no incumbent in that seat.
Okay.
And there's only one announced one right now for sure, and that's that 20-year-old young lady that can't run till November, and I don't think she can legally run anyway because there's a primary in August. But we'll see.
Okay.
That's the only announced one for Virgil's seat right now. But there will be a handful come out.
Because middle of May is when everybody has to file with the county.
Second week in May, well, same time you have to file. Yeah. Second week in May is when you have to file.
Right. Okay. So, well, it'll be an interesting week to watch things happen because there are numerous openings. City of Olympia has four.
You got school boards, fire commissions. You've got city councils. You know, you got the
Tumwater.
So you got there's probably 30 or 40 seats that are up this year.
I would imagine
all local, and it's very important. People don't know they. They get all excited about the presidential and the governor's race, that kind of stuff. But it's really those people like you and myself and Gigi who are running that actually, you know, one of the ones that put the county or the city on a certain footing.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yep. Local races are very important.
Yes, they are.
And you certainly have a lot of background on various commissions that you've worked on. The Historical Commission, is that the one you're serving on now?
Well, I'm the chairman of the Lacey Parks Board right now.
Parks Board.
But I'm on the Thurston County Historical Commission.
Oh, okay.
And I was the first president of the Lacey Historic Commission. So yeah, and I've got a long background of service in Lacey.
So what's kind of your position on the museum?
Well, I think the museum is important, significant. We're still a relatively new city, even though we just celebrated our 50th year. Mm-hmm. We've been in the shadow of Olympia for 49 of those years, or 48 of those years. And so it was important for a city like Lacey that really had no reason to exist initially. They just didn't want to be part of Olympia, to go into their history and see what kind of people started the city, where they come from, how the city gets started. And that's where you have to do your history. You have to create your history and use that to create a sense of community identification. And so that's why history is important to Lacey. Olympia doesn't have a museum.
No, that's true.
Tumwater has one, but it's open only by appointment. Lacey's the only one. Tenino's got a museum, but it's only open by appointment. And so, so Lacey is the only one that's got a full-time museum that operates. And that's because it was important, if you're going to have a sense of community, to know where your history was. Who came here? Who settled here? Why did they settle here? And so on and so forth. And so that's one of the things that we've done in Lacey. So we're going to build a replica of the train depot. That's going to be our first project. We're going to probably get that done next year, hopefully. And then we've got another building, and we're probably going to do some major work on the exterior of it to start with, and then do the interior. And that's going to take a period of time, several years. So the museum is an important part of what I want to do. But that's not all. There are several other things. We've got to watch our drinking water. We got all our water out of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
The lot has just finished a survey of all the chemicals that are in our drinking water.
I think I saw that, yeah.
And they're significant. A lot of different chemicals in our water. And so we need to begin the process of trying to protect it so that we find out where those chemicals come from and do what we need to do to protect the drinking water. I remember when Lacey never even put any kind of chlorine in our water. It was just pure water. And then they had an illness one time and
that started it.
And now it's all chlorined, And you can smell that sometimes. And then I also want to talk about traffic. A good portion of, you're interviewing me, aren't you?
I am. Or I'm trying to anyway.
Like
you said before, all I have to do is ask you one question. Yeah, and just, the interview just keeps going.
Yeah, just keep going. But a large portion of Lacey's population lives north of I-5. And more people will be living north of I-5. And there's no transit. There's no transit service out to that area.
You're talking like Jubilee?
Well, Jubilee is a senior, for 55 mm-hmm. and over. And I talked to a lady here not too long ago that moved to Jubilee, solar car, moved to Jubilee, and thought there was transit, and there wasn't. And so, we need to begin to take a look with the inner city transit, to make that a priority for them, in the future. I don't know that they see that as a priority right now. It may be carpooling or the Dash transit in Olympia that carries nobody. I mean, so the point is we need to start looking at the transit system on the other side. So I have a lot of positions on different things in Lacey, but let's get back to this interview.
Okay.
All right.
So you're going to start asking me questions again?
No, I'm going to call it to an end here in a minute.
Okay.
Because we've been doing this now for about 25 minutes. And
fair enough.
Usually we run 20 to 40 minutes, depending on whether I'm bored or not.
Yeah. Well, I think the last time we had an interview, you said, I think it's time to end it because I'm bored.
So. And I think, as long as I talk about myself, I'm not bored. Yeah. But, when I have to listen to somebody else talk about them, then I get a little bored, But I really want to say, I really do appreciate the fact that every year on our anniversary of this show, Coffee with Kenny, you come in and are my guest. And as long as you're around, you'll always be my guest.
I appreciate our
show to kick off the new year. I really appreciate it. And I know that a lot of people appreciate everything that you've done. I mean, I told you I had a call from one of your park commissioners wanting to know why everybody's supporting Bill McGregor. And I said, he's a nice guy. And so I hear that all the time. So, anyway. And so, and you are a nice guy. So keep up the good work the work on the Port Commission. And one final word, anything?
No, I just appreciate the endorsement there, Ken. I have always gotten along with you. We share a lot of commonalities in our community.
And we disagree on something.
And we disagree, and we're still friends.
Yeah.
And that's the important
And if you can't disagree with somebody, you know, and still be friends with them, you shouldn't even be in the, shouldn't even be talking to people.
Yeah.
You know, you can reject a person's idea without rejecting the person.
Right.
And
exactly.
If you can't do that, you know, go back and sit down and watch TV. Bill, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Bill McGregor.
Thank you.
Yeah. A cup, a cup, a cup.